life is changing fast, we are experiencing whole new perspectives and choices. Psychic mediums Sharon Pugh and Matthew Brandau bring you insight to historical times, current events, and the very real future that we face. Sharon and Matthew are true, tested, and certified psychic mediums and life coaches. They give you straight insight with a caring, humorous touch. Join them every Thursday for a new exciting topic and call into the show for a free reading with both hosts.
All right. Hey, hello everybody.
There, hello, Sharon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Welcome to Psychic Medium.
I'm a little bit surprised right now.
What?
I'm cutting out a little bit on my end. So just let you know, if you don't hear me for a split second, but just so you know.
Okay. All right. I mean, I can hear you good. All right. So we will continue with the show, but welcome to Psychic Mediumship and beyond. You know, we are a radio show that, you know, is going to take, you know, radio shows kind of to the next level, the metaphysical, you know, so we're not afraid to talk about controversial things and, you know, topics that, you know, will make you scratch your head and, you know, and really think. And so I'm fascinated by unsolved murders, unsolved mysteries. I myself work with a group of, I think there's five of us, but we're all tested, we're all certified, and we work cold cases. We work cold case murder. You know, people that have gone missing, and you know, that information is directly given to the detectives and law enforcement and the family. And so this is a very strong passion of mine. And it just came to me that, you know, what two cases that really have not had closure is the JonBenet Ramsey case and the Natalie Holloway case. And we all know that JonBenet was murdered. Her body was found. Natalie Holloway's body was not found. And so before we begin, I just want to stress, this is just our intuitive insight to these cases. This is not fact. So I don't want, you know, people calling in and going, you know, how dare you, you know, accusing this person. This is just what we got. You know, I did some automatic writing, and I'll share with you what I get. Matthew will share what he gets. But before we begin, if you want to book a reading with myself, go to psychicreadingsnow.com. I created that domain name to make it easier to find me. It'll pop up SharonPugh.com, and you can book a prepaid reading, or if you don't want to wait, go to the no wait reading option and pay by the minute, pay as much as you want. My button will either be green or red on my website. So, Matthew, what's your contact information?
I'm actually doing something kind of unusual, which you don't know about, but that's okay. It's something new, because I love doing website work of my own website. So I am now opening up my websites to three different websites. All do the same thing. But whichever one you can remember the easiest is the one that you should use. You can either find me under Psychic Matthew, MediumMatthew.com, or for the people who want to use their cell phone only, which is what 70% of the people now do with access, you can look at Psychic.Red. That's right, Psychic.Red, R-E-D, and you will find me there as well. Same thing, if you see the link for instant chat and the letters on there show green, that means go for it, and you can give me a quick call. Available, you know, we'll have a per minute chat. And if you want to set up for a longer reading without having to worry about computers timing you out, pay for an hour long reading and segment it whatever way you want, you know, or just go for the full hour. And don't worry, towards the end, you don't have to pay any extra time. If you go a few minutes over for me, I'm not worried about that. So, but that's how you get a hold of me, those three ways.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're cutting out just a little bit, but hopefully as we move on, it'll get a little bit better. But do you mind if I go ahead and start, Matthew, with a little bit of
I'm looking forward to this. Go for it.
Okay. All right. You know, the JonBenet Ramsey case was, you know, kind of earlier. It was, you know, in 1996. And our son was 4 years old at the time. So I remember watching this because JonBenet, I believe, was 6 years old at the time that she was murdered. So I was, you know, very enthralled into what is, you know, what was going on and who did this. But, you know, a little bit background as to what happened. It was, you know, December 25th, you know, 1996. And this was a Christmas Day had already passed. It was Christmas Day. And John and Patsy said they last saw six-year-old JonBenet Ramsey alive at bedtime. So when they put her to bed, she was alive. And, you know, the news made mention that their nine-year-old brother was also home. And he had been downstairs at the time that JonBenet had been put to bed. And he was trying to put some toys together. And so it was kind of like a normal evening, you know, for the family, and everybody went about their business. JonBenet was tucked in bed, and then comes December 22nd. Patsy says she gets up at 5:30 in the morning and makes some coffee. So I don't know if she had been getting up at 5:30 in the morning every morning. It just seems early to me. And she claims, or she said, that she found a 2.5-page ransom letter on the back staircase. And it was demanding $118,000 in cash for the safe return of JonBenet. So I want to go, you know, I kind of want to go back to that $118, you know, cash, because I did some automatic reading and uncovered kind of some hidden messages behind, you know, that amount. But kind of, you know, fast, you know, forwarding a little bit at, I think it was somewhere between the time frame of 5:30 in the morning and 10:45 on the 26th, they were all running around frantically looking for JonBenet, and she was nowhere to be found. And the dad, John Ramsey, eventually found her in, I believe, in a basement, a utility room. And she had, you know, passed away. And what they had discovered happened to her, as far as how she was killed, she was bludgeoned to death. I believe in the head, she was strangled, and her hands were bound, and she had tape over her mouth. You know, so this was a horrific death, you know, that came upon this beautiful, you know, little girl. And I believe that it was about 10:45 that the police removed her body. So between 5:30 a.m. and 10:45, the police had come and done their investigation, removed her body. You know, this is just a little bit of, you know, little bit of background of what happened that day. And, fast forwarding, it took 3 years, but both the parents were, they ended up indicting both of the parents, Patsy and John. And, it took 12 years, but they ended up being cleared. And it was because there was trace DNA of an Hispanic origin that was found on the clothes that JonBenet was wearing. But it was so small that, the police said, this could have come from manufacturing. And as I was doing, my automatic writing, I kept focusing back on Patsy. The 9-year-old son, I moved him out of the way. John, I moved out of the way. I kept looking at all the entrance of the house. Remote viewing is basically going back to the scene of a crime and looking at it from the top, the front, all different sides. And I didn't see anybody breaking in. I just didn't, see somebody coming in there and doing anything. And I just kept coming back to Patsy. And especially the number 118, which is what the ransom demanded. And the spiritual meaning of 118, it's winning, it is success, it is achievers, it is, come hell or high water, you're going to get something done. And Patsy herself is a life path number 8, and which is prosperity, which is achieving, very similar to the meaning of 118.
So and you think she did it?
I do. I kept going back in time with the automatic writing with what had happened years before. She had been diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. And, we all know stage 4, any kind of cancer, the odds of surviving is so slim. And it ended up going into remission. But I was everything that I'm giving you is in my automatic writing. And mm-hmm. She lived in fear. She suffered from depression, anxiety. She had mood swings. She snapped the drop of a hat. And I kept seeing, the kids being excited. It's Christmas Day. They want to play with their toys. They're hyped up. They're on sugar. JonBenet doesn't want to go to bed. And I see, JonBenet, in bed, but she's fidgeting. She says that she's scared of the dark. She's having nightmares. She's giving excuses. Patsy's getting extremely, frustrated. And I'm just seeing like a one smack on the right part of, just the part of the head. That,
ew, let's get too gory. I don't want to get sick.
No, that just made her entire body shut down.
Okay, we'll keep that simple.
Yeah.
I'm going to be going.
Yeah,
bleh.
No, I wasn't going to go into, kind of everything that I see, happening. But. Yeah. I do, in my automatic writing, I staged and, made to look like a attempted kidnapping, gone wrong. And then I see, a woman sitting on, the lower end, probably the first, second, or the third stair. And with something over her lap, writing a letter and just very emotionless. just riding away, not really paying attention to what, you know, to what the, what she was writing.
Wow.
So that, you know, that's some of my take on it. So let me get
okay.
your take on it, and then I'll add a little bit of some additional things that I got.
All right. Well, before I give you my take, I think we're going to be coming up on a break here shortly. So before we do that, what I will say is if anybody is interested in calling in for a reading, we are doing free readings while we're on the air right now. So if you do decide to call in, there won't be any wait. We will take your call right away, unless there's a number of people calling in. And if we do give you a reading, you're happy with it, let us know. You know, send
okay.
Sharon or myself a little message. But anyways,
I've got the call in.
So
I've got the call in number. It's,
oh my God, go for it.
Yeah, it's 202-570-7057.
Say it again, because the last time we said it three times, we wound up getting a number of callers.
I know, 202-570-7057, 202-570-7057.
All right. Nice rhythmic. I like that. That's totally awesome. So, yeah, we're one of our biggest things here while we're on the radio is to give people some information about what they're looking for in their life and see if we can help them out a little bit. As far as this case goes, what you're talking about, the problem is that there's one thing about this. Automatic writing is great. That's not my thing. But when we come back, I'll give you a little bit more insight as to what I think might have happened. But I'll try to connect with the actual child.
Ah!
Perfect. Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A. mindfulnessmusic.com.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
All right, folks, we are back again. And why don't you give out that telephone number one more time, Sharon, so that people can call in if they want to get a free reading from us, psychic or mediumship-wise. And then I'll start talking about the topic that we're on today.
Okay. All right. The number is 202-570-7057. 888-787-7057.
Awesome. All right, so give us a call, and then we'll go from there. And if nobody calls in today, hey, no biggie. All right, so one of the things that I do is I can connect with past loved ones, and this isn't something that I personally need to do where I sit down and meditate. I just decide to say I'm going to connect, and it happens. Why? I don't know. It just does. So, anyways, what I'm feeling from this child, now keep in mind that we're not dealing with an adult here, folks. We're dealing with a child. And when you're dealing with a child, there is not as much emotional description as there is with an adult. There is not a developed sense of connection here. I'm only going to get more of a desire for a mommy and a daddy to be nice. And what I'm picking up is that there is a distraction, a very bad distraction between both the mother and the father as far as showing this child a certain level of emotional appreciation. The mechanical, the parental, the guidance for making sure they get to school on time, making sure that they have the food that they need, the clothing, all of those things, those particular items, I don't feel there was an issue. But as far as the emotional, I'm sad, I'm angry, I feel that there was something dramatically missing there. And that disconnect was already in those two parents before this child was even born. So that sets the stage in my, from what I'm feeling, is something as soon as the child was born, there was already a predetermined approach on how these parents were going to raise this child. These two people were missing something within their own personalities. And this is something that is very common in many, many parents. It's not something unusual at all. It's a psychological issue that many people from one or two generations before mine really had no idea on how to handle themselves. And if these people didn't have this education to understand their child and its needs in this area, they didn't have many resources to get either. So keeping that in mind, I do feel as if this child actually wound up in a situation where these parents somehow were involved in the fact that they decided at one point, we are stepping away from the responsibility of this child. But I also don't see it was just one or two parents. I think it was both. And I think a third party came in, and it was an evolution of discussion between them. And I think somehow that might have been what is involved, because I see through the child's eyes, there's a stranger. I don't feel that there's just mom and the daddy here. I feel that there is a stranger involved, but I feel that the mother and the father were aware of this person. And I think that's where the mystery comes into play. As far as actually who committed the actual act, I can't say. That's blind to me. I don't think the child was able to see that coming. It just happened. So as far as I can tell, Sharon, I would say that this was all three. There was an anonymous person, and the two parents were also involved. But I don't think it was intentional in the beginning to do anything this bad. But in the end, it did happen. Does that make any sense to you at all, or not really?
Yeah, it. I mean, it does. I just get that it was very spontaneous in heat of, you know, passion, where somebody snapped,
right.
And I do see that the crime scene was staged. I absolutely get that. I believe the child was carried down and made to look like somebody broke in.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is it does feel as if the actual act of unfortunate, I don't know how to put this, but the death of the child itself, I don't feel was intentional. I don't think they meant to do it. But it happened. And then they were like, okay, well, we need to shift things around here. That's what I'm thinking. I don't think it was intentional. I don't think there was a killer there. I think it was an accidental, and they covered it up. But that's neither here nor there, because neither one of us knows the truth. But that's what we're suspecting. So what's the other one you wanted to talk about?
The Natalie Holloway case, which, that happened in May of 2005. And actually May 30th was the last day that her friends, saw her alive. Do you want me kind of do the same thing that I did with JonBenet and give you what I see happening? Because I promise you folks, me and Matthew did not discuss this, so I have no idea what he's going to see with this.
Go ahead and give it a little bit of a chat up in a nutshell. Yeah.
Okay. All right. They were on a graduation trip. Natalie and her friends were in Aruba, and they were having a great time. And it was the last night before they were going to leave to come home. And they had, been at a bar, and there's photographs of them having a great time, Natalie smiling. And then one of her friends said that, "I want to go back to the hotel." So Natalie and her friend were at I don't know if it's a transit, where you wait for a train to get back. But the friend had said, "Hey, I'm going to go get some street food," and left. And when she got back to where Natalie was, was last standing, she saw Natalie in a white car with Joran Vandersloot, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, but, driving away in a car. And, what I was picking up intuitively is, Natalie was a very conscientious, very disciplined girl. She would just not have gotten in a car with strange men and, driven off. I just don't see her doing that.
I'm going to contradict on that one, but go ahead.
Okay. All right. That's fine. There's probably two different.
It happens.
Images. I'm just not seeing her willingly, get in mm-hmm. the car.
Okay.
But, Joran, Vandersloot was, he was a thug to begin with. He had, impulsion issues. He was very sneaky, and his dad was.
I see him as being a part of a bigger scheme. You're absolutely right, and I think he was, and still is to this day, mentally in a place where it's very dark and self-serving.
Absolutely, and I didn't want to bring in his dad, but his dad came in the automatic writing that I did. His dad, Paul Vandersloot, was a judge, and a prosecutor. Mm-hmm. And, what I'm seeing, and because I want to make sure that we don't run, out of time, but,
Joran, then keep it into a nutshell.
Yeah. Joran, ironically, is the character Jor-El's father of Superman. So ironically, he's named after the father of Superman. And what I was seeing is that what happened was Natalie, went, "I get unwillingly with this group." Joran had kidnapped, women, girls before for sex trafficking. And Natalie was very Caucasian. She had blonde hair, but she had Oriental kind of looking eyes, almost like a diamond, a rare diamond in his eyes, dollar signs, money. And mm-hmm. I see her being drugged. She was drugged. She was, taken to, I'm seeing like a rusty red tanker, like a freighter tanker. And within 4 hours of her going missing, I'm seeing her inside of this, this cargo ship. And she's hooked up to an IV. She's strapped around the wrist. And she was, she was kept, hydrated and fed. And then it kind of fast forwards to a area off of a tropical island, and I kept getting Malaysia. Malaysia just kept coming back to me. And
just so you know that there are actually islands that are controlled by multi-millionaires and billionaires. One of them is even known to be called some kind of strange island name, and they actually, it is just for fun for them to go out there to have fun with younger women, and the age is not controlled because they are outside in international waters.
Ah, okay. All right, because I'm horrible with geography, but I got Malaysia, Burma, just...
Well, Malaysia Malaysia is north of, northwest of Australia and southeast of China, right towards the, east of the country of India. And that's also part of the, just north of the Philippine Islands.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that makes sense. Okay. There you go. But I even got, I get international freight and cargo ship, and I wrote 7135, like there's a number 7135 on the side of the ship, and her name was changed.
Yeah.
And I get a name change of Renee, that I couldn't get a last name, but I got, a first name of Renee. But I just get that she was taken to a dinghy, and she was carried by two men, put on a very dumpy looking train onto her destination. So I want to let you chime in, and then I'll kind of finish with what I see.
I actually do remember this, and there is a lot of corruption already well known in that whole area. So it is not surprising that anybody would say anything like, oh, it was sex trafficking, drugs. I think all of that was involved. I think there was people paid off. I think they found a particular woman who suited somebody's description to a certain T, and they said, let's grab her. I think when her friend went out to buy that food, they should never have separated. And I think because they probably drank a little alcohol, their judgment was impaired. She should have left the train, got train tracks with her friend to go to get the street food. But because she was alone on these tracks, perfect target. They grabbed her. I can actually feel the sense that she was approached by this person, and she had a sense of trust. Like, okay, yeah, I can trust you. You're cute. You look like you've got some money. And they started talking, and he easily used the words, oh, my father is this, my father is that. And that gave her a sense of ease. I feel as if she was very, very naive and overly trusting. Perhaps she had alcohol in her or not. I can't really tell. But it feels like there was a naiveness. Maybe there isn't. But in that moment, all her natural guards were down. I don't feel anything inside of her saying, be careful. And I do, the one thing I do feel is I feel that chloroform. I feel she's grabbed by chloroform, knocked out, didn't even know it hit her. And from then on in, it's all a mystery. But we are both in agreement that we do not feel that she is gone. We don't feel that she is up in heaven. We both seem to agree she is still alive. Whether or not she even knows her own name anymore, maybe she has amnesia now. But we do feel that she's out there in the world. But if she were to be recovered, would she even know anything about her family? I would severely doubt it. That's my take.
Yeah. I see her at the moment almost like Cleopatra with, dark, like a dark wig on that's very short with eyeliner that goes up. And something that you just mentioned with her trusting, this, Joran, Vandersloot, He was at the bar, the same bar that they were at. And my read on this was that he had approached her at the bar and made that impression. You know, she did think that he was cute. And, you know, he did make himself up to be, you know, larger than life, than important. But I also feel that he and these other guys followed, you know, said, we're going to get her, and followed her. And you're right, waited until they were separated enough, you know, took her. And, you know, she was drugged, because when I see her getting on this freighter, she doesn't know what is going on. She doesn't know where she's at. She can hear, you know, banging and sounds, but has no idea, you know, where she's at or what is going on. And so many, you know, some of his, I believe at least one of the men that he was with, you know, admitted that, oh, he killed her and I helped hide the body, or I dug up her remains and I cremated them with my dog. They got some of those remains and it's not her. So no trace of her body has ever been found. But it's like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I don't think it will be. I don't think it ever will be.
Yeah, and I never looked at it from an intuitive, psychic, or medium view until recently. So we will be back right after this break. So join in.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, folks. So While we have been chit-chatting about those two items, I actually was thinking about something while we were off the air, Sharon, and I wanted to know if you were up for talking about this. Two different things of discussion, and the first one is about parents today and where parenting is going as far as the future is concerned. And the other subject also that we might want to talk about here is something very, very fascinating, which is happening worldwide, and it's music. What music is becoming in different varieties? And I'm wondering, out of those two subjects, which one of those tantalizes you the most?
You know, they both do, because I think the way that we parent, because I think you brought up a great, you know, when you were talking about, you know, JonBenet's parents and, you know, how they were parenting, you know, that's fascinating, but I'm also intrigued as to what you mean by the way that music is changing.
All right. So let's first cover a little bit about the parenting, and then we'll switch to the music part, because I think they're both fascinating subjects. Is that cool with you?
Absolutely.
All right. So what we're dealing with here is in parenting is something that's very critical. And I want to let people know there's a particular comedian that is no longer with us. He passed away, but he was really incredible. And he took things to the nexus level. It was almost like he was insulting the general public, but he never actually took it to the personal level so people could actually find it funny. George Carlin. Do you remember him?
George Carlin? I was like, and I love comedians, and I'm like, who is that?
George, you look
Hold
him up on
YouTube.
Let He's
me
all
see.
Over the place.
Yeah, let me see who this is. George Carlin?
Carlin, not with a D. So anyways, while you're doing that, there's certain things that are discussed that he makes revelations about, which I also think is true, is responsibility. Now, when you and I were growing up, Sharon, I don't know about your family, but in my family, you did your homework. And if you didn't do your homework, you didn't go outside to play. Parents both worked, but you took responsibility for yourself at the house, and you respected your elders to a certain extent. Now, there's a switch. Now, keep in mind that there's a switch for a couple of reasons. There's a couple of philosophical leaders that were considered to be people of reverence in certain rules when it came to the raising of children, depending on what area you lived in. And the one that I'm referring to is in the United States or most of the English-speaking world. I forget the guy's gosh darn name right now, but he was a doctor of psychology. And what he was saying is, do not ever, 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 under any circumstances, spank your child. Now, I don't know about
that. Dr. Spock?
Oh, maybe it was Dr. Spock. But I'll tell you that these guys were very impactful in making some very bad choices for raising children that people began to believe in. And these impacts were so significant worldwide in the English-speaking era, in the English-speaking world, that people have now got these children who have been raised in such sensitivity that they now look at the world and say, from what I've understood, the world owes me, and I don't have to owe the world anything, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And there's a criminal action that goes with that, and the parents are not taking responsibility for this because they thought that these amazingly intelligent people and their rules of idea or theories were correct 100% because they're how they explained them in the psychology of the human mind, especially for the child, made sense. But the end result was actually catastrophic. And my message is, why shouldn't the parents take responsibility for their children to the extreme, saying, you show other people respect? And if my child has a psychological issue, you don't hide that child in the basement. You let that child be known that, yes, you are special. Yes, you are unique. Yes, there is something going on in your mind, and we're going to help you along the way because you came from us. Doesn't that make sense?
It, you know, it does. And I, you know, I tend not to share, you know, my own personal experiences, but I grew up in an era where you could go ride your bike, you know, by yourself if you're, you know, 7 or 8 years old. But I grew up, my parents had me very late in life, and my brother and my sister were already grown and, mm-hmm. you know, out of the house. And I think my parents, and I love both of them dearly, and they loved me, but they traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. And of course, mm-hmm. I was, you know, left home with, you know, a nanny that really wasn't paying attention. So I didn't have somebody hovering over me telling me to do my homework or else I couldn't do something. I just went and I did whatever I wanted to do. And, you know, I'd kind of
jokingly. Boundaries.
Nope. I had no boundaries at, you know, at all. And I, you know, by the time I was 16, you know, and 17, still in high school, and my parents would, you know, go off on a trip, I had, you know, I would have house parties. I would have 40, 50 kids, you know, in
wow.
the house, and half of them would be, you know, swimming in the pool. The bar would be open. I mean, we were making, like, you know, mimosas by the gallon, and, you know, it's okay. amazing that I'm still alive today. But I also parent, you know, we parented our son in a different light. I stayed on top of things. He had boundaries. He's married, has his own business, you know, has manners, you know, but
there's something significant. There's something significant important here before we change the subject over to music. And that is that parenting in the mental condition, I'm not talking about the physical as much. I'm talking more about the mentally understanding where this child needs to grow up as far as comprehension, as far as understanding boundaries, understanding what's right and what's wrong, and what's wrong is not acceptable, and the punishment. The other side of this thing is embarrassment for what your child may have been or might be. Children have different disabilities, and I want people to understand, I don't care what the disability is. Unless this is a lethal disability where the child is a massive, proven, scientifically and legally documented danger to society, then yes, you deal with that as it's supposed to be dealt with correctly. But otherwise, if it's just a learning disability, behavioral disability within reason, then in those particular cases, especially for people who, like you and I, Sharon, who grew up knowing that we could see and hear and deal with ghosts, who normally we'd be locked up. Normally we'd be put away someplace, but they don't do that anymore. There is a consciousness that needs to be remaining on track to a certain extent. And disabilities is one of them, that if you have a disability or if you have a gift, parents need to acknowledge these things and say, okay, I accept that this is happening with my child. Now let me get education on it, so that future generations will learn the right way.
I think that we over-diagnose children. I think children that
Oh, God, we do that to adults, too.
Yeah, oh, we do. We do. But, you know, if a child is 6 months old and, you know, isn't walking yet or, you know, acts a certain way, we tend to, oh my gosh, your child is autistic, or your child has Asperger's. So then we build a world around that child and we limit them. You know, I mean,
yes.
Autism and Asperger's existed since the beginning of time. You know, all of these conditions, right. And we don't, you know, we're padding our children way too much, and we're making them neurotic. So we wonder why these kids
we're over-drugging them.
Oh, absolutely. Which, I mean, hello, they say with the pharmaceutical companies, antidepressants, SSRIs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, you know, are bad for kids under the age of 18 because their brains are not developed yet. I mean, so we're screwing up these kids to begin with, and then we're asking them to, you know, take responsibility or go out into the world. And we do. We have so many young adults that don't know how to live sufficiently. They don't know how to budget. They don't know how to maintain a job. They don't
Now, there's something else here that's also important that I want to point out before the show is over, Sharon, is that the positive note is that they can learn these things. They can join society. But part of the problem is not just each individual parent, but it's a socializing experiment that needs, or socializing anxieties that need to somehow be a little bit more ingrained and interwoven into the small towns, into the local neighborhoods, where they can go outside and other people won't look out their window suspiciously. As you said before, they will actually welcome them. Hey, how are you? How's your son or daughter doing? Oh, they look wonderful today. It's an acceptance so that they can grow knowing that their neighbors aren't going to judge them. Yes?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree.
And that's something that I think is one of the problems that parents are dealing with, which reflects upon what we were talking about, is understanding that there are special situations with the parents and or with the children. And if neighbors can see these situations, maybe they can step up and say, hey, let's have a little chat. Let's get to know each other. Let's be friends so that you can feel like you can trust your neighbors. And you might find that there's an improvement in the social structure and in the social environment. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree. Yeah, I absolutely agree that so many more adults that are already, you know, disabled or paralyzed with certain mental disorders, you know, are having kids, and then they don't know how to parent. And I mean,
bingo.
I don't know about you.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
And I don't know about you, but I think about, you know, my God, these kids are going to be the ones to take care of us when we're in our 90s. And so we need to fix this now, because we're going to be at the mercy of, you know, of these same little beings that, you know, that are having trouble with, you know, entitlement and not doing chores, not doing homework, you know, the me, you know, movement. Mm-hmm. And how are they going to have compassion to take care of us if they feel like they're deserving? I don't know. Does that make sense?
Very true. It does. It does absolutely make sense. And for next week's show, I have a very powerful idea regarding a couple of statements that you just made, which I think are going to be very significant. And I hope everybody does listen in to the next week's show, because it's going to be something, if Sharon likes the idea, we're going to be talking about the future of consciousness and how the future may actually be controlled consciously, and by whom, and by where they're from. And what I mean by where they're from is not from the earth. So how will our future be looking when it comes to our standards, and how would mediums and psychics be involved in that? I think they'll be significantly involved in that. But that's an idea for the next show, so we're going to chit-chat a little bit more. Also, folks, if you have an idea for us, please contact us through our websites for an idea that you'd like to have us discuss. Sharon, what is your website?
It is SharonPugh.com, or just to make it easy, PsychicReadingsNow.com.
That is an awesome website name, PsychicReadingsNow.com. And once again, contact Sharon if you have an idea that you'd like us to discuss, and maybe you'd like to call in and join us in the conversation or just get a reading yourself. If you want to contact me as well to get through an idea, psychic.red or mediamatthew.com or psychicmatthew.com. Give us a shout out for readings, or like I said, if you have a suggestion. And Sharon, thank you very much for a great radio show. These two subjects were very interesting, and perhaps we've given a little bit of peace to the spirits of those two people that are suffering in our world today.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Tune in next week to Psychic Mediumship and Beyond with Sharon Pugh and Matthew Brandau. We will see you next week. Take care, folks.
Take care. Bye-bye.